Like all good studies of 1 Chronicles, we should open our Bibles to 1 Chronicles, chapter 1. Listen, hang on, okay? We're going to go fast and furious for reasons that will become very evident. Okay, chapter 1, verse 1. Adam, Sheth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Henoch. Henoch is Enoch there, okay? Because you were wondering. Methuselah, Lamech, Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Okay, it's the first 1,400 years or so of human history. See, we've gone like 1,400 years in just a few seconds. So we're doing pretty good so far. Now we're going to look at all these sons of Noah, the descendants of Japheth. The sons of Japheth, Gomer and Magog, Madai, Javan. Javan, by the way, is, does anyone know? I'm not going to ask because, one, you don't. Greece. Okay, Javan. Tubal, Meshach, Tiras, and the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz. You ever heard of Ashkenazi Jews? No, serious. I wouldn't joke around. I would, but I'm not. Ashkenaz, Riphath, and Togarmah, and the sons of Javan, Elisha, and Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodanim. Now we go into the descendants of Ham, okay? There's another one of Noah's sons, the sons of Ham, Cush and Mizraim. Cush, think here, Somalia, Ethiopia. Mizraim is Egypt. Put, it would be modern-day Libya. And Canaan, and the sons of Cush, Seba and Havilah, Sabta and Raamah, Sabtika, and the sons of Raamah, Sheba and Dedan. Sheba and Dedan, we see them a lot, and especially when we're talking about like prophecy, because you're reading through prophecy and God's going to come back and wipe out Sheba and Dedan, and you're thinking, I don't even know where that is. It's the Saudi Arabian Peninsula. I say Saudi, the Arabian Peninsula, okay? It's Saudi Arabia today and may be going as far, you know, south as Yemen. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be mighty upon the earth. Now, Nimrod, we read about today in our studies, as if you're reading through the Bible with us, Nimrod, he began to be a mighty hunter upon the earth. The big thing is that he was hunting for the souls of men. He's the first Antichrist type. Just, you know, a world leader, and he's firm in his resolution against God. And Mizraim, that Egypt, of course, begat Ludim and Anamim and Lahabim and Naphtuphim and Pashrusim and Casluhim, of whom came the Philistines. Okay, Philistines, we all know them, right? They're Egyptian in their orientation, because we're talking about and Mizraim begat, verse 11, right? So Philistines and Kaphtorim, and Canaan begat Zidon, his firstborn, and Heth, the Jebusite also, and the Amorite, and the Girgashite, and the Hivite, and the Arkite, and the Sinite, and the Arvadite, and the Zemarite, and the Hamathite. And I know that's very edifying for you, so I'm going to keep moving. Verse 17, the sons of Shem. Of Shem come the Shemites. We say Semites. You're very Semitic, as anti-Semitic. That means they are against Shem. But specifically, we use that phraseology for somebody who's anti-Israel. They're anti-Semite. But Shem is more than just Israel. As we can see here, the sons of Shem, Elam. Elam. Does anyone know Elam? You have to know Elam. How about by the Bible name Persia? How about by the modern name Iran? Elam. See, really? They're Shemites? Yeah. Isn't that interesting? They're not very friendly with their brother, but you want to know they're Shemites. Elam and Asher, Arphaxad and Lud and Aram and Uz and Hul and Gether and Meshach. And Arphaxad begat Shelah and Shelah begat Eber. And now Eber, that's probably where we get the name Hebrews. Okay? Just in case you're taking notes. And unto Eber were born two sons. The name of the one was Peleg, because in his days the earth was divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. Now, Peleg means divided, or along these lines. Look, It means division. Now, people talk about continental drift, and even I hear Christians say this. Continental drift is, think of how scientific that is. Like there's these big lily pads out floating in the middle of the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans. The thing is that all the continents used to be connected. Now, if you scoop out all the water out of the ocean basin, they still are connected. They used to be all connected so that they didn't look like islands if you looked on a globe. All you have to do is drop the water level down about 70 feet, and they're all connected again. That's all, just about 70 feet. So probably it was, this has to do with the flood and the runoff, and the waters were assuaged. It was probably at that time, okay? So there's no continental drift. That's just think about that, how silly that is. The Bible doesn't know anything about that, but the earth was divided, okay? And Joktan begat Almodad and Sheleph and Hazarmaveth and Jerah, Hadaram also and Uzal and Dikla and Ebal and Abimael and Sheba and Ophir and Havilah and Jobab. All these were the sons of Joktan. Jobab may be Job. Again, just there you go. Shem's line to Abraham is Shem, Arphaxad, Shelah, Eber, Peleg, Reu, Serug, Nahor, Terah, Abram, the same as Abraham. Now, those are some of the names you're familiar with there. Now, the sons of Abraham, Isaac and Ishmael. Okay, who's first? Ishmael is first. Who's labeled first? Isaac, the son of promise. God says, you know, the firstborn we give the double blessing, and then he goes in out of his way many times in Scripture to make that of no avail. Who's older, Esau or Jacob? Esau. Who gets the double blessing? Jacob. And what is God saying there? He says, the first birth isn't nothing to me. The second birth is the one I count. He made the rules, and then he goes out of his way to disobey his own rules, if you can put it that way. The sons of Abraham, Isaac and Ishmael, these are the generations. The firstborn of Ishmael, Nebaioth and Kedar and Abdeel and Mibsam, Mishma and Duma, Measa, Hadad and Tema, Jeter, Naphish, Kedima. These are the sons of Ishmael. Now the sons of Keturah, Abraham's concubine. Now you remember he's married this woman named Sarai, and then later on her name gets changed to Sarah. And they're of such and such an age where they can't have children. Abraham's about 100 years old when Isaac is born. Sarah, a sprightly 90, okay? So God turns their juices back on, if I can put it that way, right? Because she has literally has a baby. It's an adoption or anything like that. She has a baby by Abraham, and there you go. Now, at 145, he gets remarried to this concubine. Keturah is her name. And he's still in baby-making mode because the sons of Keturah, Abraham's concubine, she bears Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, Shua, and the sons of Jokshan, Sheba, and Dedan. Again, read here, Saudi Arabia. And the sons of Midian. Now, the Midianites are perennial enemies against Israel. It's like Abe. but you can't really, you know, hold it against, just because your offspring are like rats, you know what I mean? Especially generations and generations and generations later. The sons of Midian, Ephah and Epher, Henoch and Abida and Eldea, all these are the sons of Keturah. Now the descendants of Esau. Abraham begat Isaac, the sons of Isaac, Esau, and Israel. Now, it's interesting. It's Jacob, right? Well, it's Israel later on, and he's exploiting that name. He's trying to, the chronicler, who, by the way, we don't know, some people think it's Ezra, and it was written at about the time of Ezra, is written, obviously, and we'll find out even in tonight's reading, after the Babylonian exile, because it's talking about stuff that happened after Babylon and people who lived after the Babylonian exile, okay? So that's probably about the time, and it could have been. But we don't really know that because it doesn't say. Again, Abraham begat Isaac, sons of Isaac, Esau, and Israel, the sons of Esau, Eliphaz, Reuel, Jeush, Jalem, and Korah, the sons of Eliphaz, Teman and Omar, Zephi and Gatim, Kenaz, Timnah, and Amalek. That's the Amalekites again. The sons of Reuel, Nahath, Zerah, Shema, and Mizah, and the sons of Seir, Lotan and Shobal, Zibeon and Ana, and Dishon and Ezer and Dishan. These are the sons of Lotan. Horai and Homan and Timnah was Latan's sister. Now, this is better than a baby book if you're expecting. This is just read down through here. Sons of Shobal, Alien and Manahath and Ebal, Shephi and Onam, and the sons of Zibeon, Aiah and Ana. The sons of Ana, Dishon, the sons of Dishon, Amram, and Eshban, and Ithram, and Charan, and the sons of Ezer, Bilhan, and Javan, and Jakin, the sons of Dishan, Uz, and Aran. Now these are the kings that reigned in the land of Edom before any king reigned over the children of Israel. Okay, again, Edom is modern-day Jordan. Just think anything really like east and the same like north-south, same latitude, if I can put it that way, as Israel. When you're talking about Edom, okay? And maybe slightly to the south. Before any king reigned over the children of Israel, Bela the son of Beor, the name of the city was Dinabah. And then when Bela was dead, Jobab the son of Zerah of Bozrah reigned in his stead. When Jobab was dead, Husham of the land of the Temanites reigned in his stead. And when Husham was dead, Hadad the son of Bedad, which smote Midian in the field of Moab, reigned in his stead. And the name of the city was Abeth. And when Hadad was dead, Samlah and Masrekah reigned in his stead. And when Samlah was dead, Shaul of Rehoboth by the river reigned in his stead. And when Shaul was dead, Baal-Hanan the son of Achbor reigned in his stead. And when Baal-Hanan was dead, Hadad reigned in his stead. And the name of the city was Peah, and his wife was... Now, the first, we come all this, and this is the first woman here, I think. His wife's name was Metabel, the daughter of Matred, the daughter of Mezahab. Hadad died, and also the dukes of Edom were Duke Timnah, Duke Aliah, Duke Jehath, Duke Aholibama, Duke Elah, Duke Pinon, Duke Kenaz, Duke Teman, Duke Mizbar, Duke Magdiel, Duke Iram. These are the dukes of Edom. Good stuff. Okay, chapter 2. Y'all good? I'm going to do that every chapter, okay? I want to do it the first one, but I kind of want to show you something. It is nine chapters of this, and we're going to stop along the line. I'm going to show you a few names and a few of the ones that we're more familiar with, but for the most part, we're going to skip a lot. But okay, chapter 2. These are the sons of Israel. Now, the sons of Israel are kind of important. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. Dan, Joseph, and Benjamin, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. They're not put in chronology of birth there. I think they're in chronology of... Like, okay, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun, I think are all, if I'm not mistaken, are all Leah's children. And I don't know where Dan fits in. Joseph and Benjamin, of course, you know that's Rachel's. And so, because there's four women involved, four moms, because both Rachel and Leah's concubines get into the act, and they both have children. I can't remember which one is which, but they're not in the birth order, because otherwise Joseph would be second to last, and Benjamin would be last. The sons of Judah, and Onan. Now, Judah he's kind of a rascal. He's the tribe that Jesus will be born in Judah. But it's not because Judah's like an excellent guy, and his sons and Onan and Shelah, well, and Onan aren't good guys either. It doesn't say, oh yeah, it does say it here. Which three were born unto him of the daughter of Shua, the Canaanitess, and the firstborn of Judah, was evil in the sight of the Lord, and he slew him. I've had enough of you. God just wipes him out. And Tamar, his daughter-in-law, bare him Phares and Zerah of the sons of Judah of five. So Judah hooks up accidentally with Tamar, who's disguised as a prostitute, and gets her pregnant, and she has twins. And this is the line of Jesus Christ, by the way, as we talked about on the Christmas Eve service. The sons of Phares, Hezron and Hamul, the sons of Zerah, Zimri and Ethan, and Heman and Calcol and Dara, five of them in all. And the sons of Carmi, Achar, the troubler of Israel, who transgressed in the thing of curse, you remember? Achan, as he's given to us in the book of Judges. And it goes and it bothers to mention him. He's the one who, the troubler of Israel. You remember the story? They went to wiped out Jericho, and God said, "Don't take any of the stuff. It's not spoiled. It's dedicated to me. I want you to understand, I'm doing this. You're not. So don't be, you know, running around buying you, you know, Super Bowl victory rings or nothing like that. Don't be high-fiving everybody. It's me. It's my stuff. I want it all devoted to me. And this guy Achan, you know, he saw some stuff and he took it. And God, next time they go out to battle, God, 36 of them got wiped out. And that's the only time that we have any losses in any of the battles. Of the whole seven-year campaign of taking over the land. That's recorded anyway. And the sons of Ethan, Azariah, the sons of Hezron that were born to him, Jeremiel and Ram and Chelubai. Now that's Caleb. And Ram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nashon, prince of the children of Judah. And Nashon begat Salma, and Salma begat Boaz. Because you say some of these names are slightly different, because you say it in Salmon in the again in the book of Judges, in the book of Ruth, Salmon begat Boaz. Boaz begat Obed. Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat his firstborn, Eliab and Abinadab the second, and Shimma the third, Nethaneel the fourth, Radiah the fifth, Ozan the sixth, and David the seventh. Okay. Let's just read a few more verses in this chapter. Whose sisters were Zeruiah and Abigail. So David has a sister, Zeruiah. So you remember, you know, oh, you sons of Zeruiah, he keeps saying the sons of Zeruiah, Abishai and Joab and Asahel three. Those were all commanders in his army. Abishai and Joab, you know, for the longest time, Asahel's killed early on by Abner, the son of Ner, if you remember that. And Abigail, that's the other sister, she bare Amasa, and the father of Amasa was Jether, the Ishmaelite. So later on, David makes this Amasa his general instead of Joab. Do you remember? Because Joab got out of favor with him, and Joab ends up killing Amasa. He just can't get rid of this guy, Joab. So you remember the story. And Caleb, the son of Hezron, begat children of Azuba, his wife, and of Jerioth, her sons, are these, Jesher and Shobab and Arden. When Azubah was dead, Caleb took unto him Ephrath, which bare unto him Hur, and Hur begat Uri, and Uri begat Bezalel. And afterward Hezron went in unto the daughter of Maker, the father of Gilead, whom he married when he was 80 years old, and she begat him Segub. And Segub begat Jair, who had 23 cities in the land of Gilead. He took Gesher and Aram with the towns of Jair from them with Kenath, and the towns thereof, even 80 cities, all these belonged to the sons of Maker, the father of Gilead. And after that, Hezron was dead in Caleb Ephratah. Then Abiah, Hezron's wife, bare him Asher, the father of Tekoa. I just wanted to read as far as that, because Caleb Ephratah is one of the first. That's Bethlehem, okay? Ephratah, as it's given to us by the prophet Micah. Now, and it goes on and on. Let's skip over to chapter 3 and see what we can find there. Let's read like the first, probably about first half here. These were the sons of David, which were born to him in Hebron. Okay, now David's king at this time. Firstborn was Amnon of Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess. The second, Daniel of Abigail, the Carmelitess. We don't read anything about him. Probably before he comes to age, he's probably dead. And there was a lot of, you know, infant mortality, even in Bible times. I mean, the third Absalom, we know him, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. The fourth, Adonijah, the son of Haggith. The fifth, Shephatiah of Abital. The sixth, Ithream by Eglah, his wife. We haven't read the same female yet. Dave's got a little bit of a problem. These six were born unto him in Hebron, and there he reigned 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years. And they were born unto him in Jerusalem, Shimeah and Shobab and Nathan and Solomon, four of Bathshua, that's Bathsheba there, the daughter of Amiel. Ibhar also, and Elishama and Eliphelet and Noga and Nepheg and Japhia and Elishama and Eliada and Eliphelet, nine. These were all the sons of David beside the sons of the concubines and Tamar, their sister. Now, do you think he had... Just those are the only ones named. I mean, if you have a, you know, a whole bevy of, there's probably a whole lot of children. These are the important ones. You think he only had one daughter? You know, none of these, if we've gone here and we've read like about two or three, and he had a sister, Zeruiah, or something like this, it's because then it's not recorded. You say, why is that? I don't know. You know, when Jacob had, he has 12 sons, right? And then he has Dinah. And then later on, after Joseph's dead, it said his sons and his daughters came to him. Obviously, Dinah's the only one who is recorded because she fits into the account. Obviously, there's others. The Bible's reckoned by male genealogy. I don't know what to say about that. You know, if you're like, don't like that, I didn't write it, okay? I'm not apologizing for it, but it always goes, it's always, not always, but and as I'll show you here, hopefully not if I keep moving. Now, where'd I go? And Solomon's son was Rehoboam, Abiah his son, Asa his son, Jehoshaphat his son. We know that, these names, because we studied them in Kings. These are all the kingly line of Judah. Joram his son, Ahaziah his son, Joash his son, Amaziah his son, Azariah his son, Jotham his son, Ahaz his son, Hezekiah his son, Manasseh his son, Ammon his son, Josiah his son. And the sons of Josiah were the firstborn Johanan, the second Jehoiakim, the third Zedekiah, and the fourth Shalom. And the sons of Jehoiakim, Jeconiah his son, Zedekiah his son, the sons of Jeconiah, Asher and Shealtiel his son, Malchiram also, and Pedaiah, and Shenazar, Jeconiah, Hoshema, and Nebadiah, and the sons of And the sons of Pedaiah were Zerubbabel and Shimei, and the sons of Zerubbabel, Meshullam and Hananiah and Shelomith, their sister. Now, we just want to get as far as that verse, because Zerubbabel, that's the one who's the governor of the land when they come back after the Babylonian captivity. That's why I want to show you that this got, that's how far we are here. And on it goes. Chapter 4. Listen, we got three chapters this out of the way. This is good. Okay, we're just moving right along. Chapter 4, descendants of Judah, the sons of Judah, Phares, Hezron, Carmi, Hur, and Shobal, and Reaiah, the son of Shobal, begat Jahath, Jahath begat Ahumai, and Lahad. These are the families of the Zorathites, and these were the father, and these were of the father of Etam, Jezreel, Ishma, Idbash, and the name of the sister was Hazalelpani, I think. You just say them like you know what you're talking about. Nobody ever questions because nobody else knows how to say them either. And Penuel, the father of Gedor and Ezer, and the father of Husha. These are the sons of Hur, the firstborn of Ephratah, the father of Bethlehem. See, Ephratah, Bethlehem. And Asher, the father of Tekoa, had two wives, Hela and Naara. Naara bore him Huzam and Hefer and Temani and Haash. Terai, these are the sons of Naara, and the sons of Hela were Zereth and Jezoar and Ethan, and Koz begat Anub and Zobeba and the families of Aharel, the son of Harum, and Jabez was more honorable than his brother, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. His name means he will cause pain or sorrowful. So his name is Jabez. Anyone ever heard a song of Jabez? You know, okay. He didn't know he'd be the name of a whole cottage industry here, okay? His mom named him sorrowful because probably she had a real hard time of it in childbirth or pregnancy or something like that. And Jabez, this is the whole verse. This is everything we know about Jabez right here in this verse. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. There it is. That's the whole thing. And again, a whole cottage industry was born of that. So God blessed this man, and the Holy Spirit records that and puts it in front of us, and I'm glad that he does. Jabez called on God. Everything we know about Jabez is that he called on God, and he asked him to bless me. This doesn't mean that you name it and claim it, and God's going to, you know, rain down Mercedes Benzes and gold coins, and it just doesn't work that way. I mean, it just doesn't. That I'm glad God blessed Jabez, but here's what you got to know: go preach that. That health and wealth, prosperity gospel in third world countries. I was in Haiti. I don't think I want to preach them health and wealth, okay? Just don't. They would laugh at you as they were escorting you out of the sanctuary. Okay, let's keep moving. Anyway, I want to go as far as that. And let's look at verse 24. These are the sons of Simeon. Because now we're going to look at the tribes one at a time. These sons of Simeon were, okay, Nemuel and Jamin, Jerob, Zerah, and Sheol, and on and on and on. Look at verse 38. These mentioned by the names were princes in their families, and the house of their fathers increased greatly. And they went to the entrance of Gedor, even unto the east side of the valley, to seek pasture for their flocks. And they found fat pasture and good, and the land was wide and quiet and peaceable. For they of Ham had dwelt there of old. And these written by name came in the days of Hezekiah king of Judah, and smote their tents and the habitations that were found there, and destroyed them utterly unto this day, and dwelt in their rooms, because in their rooms means in place of them, because there was pasture there for their flocks. This, we're still talking about the descendants of Simeon. And some of them, even of the sons of Simeon, 500 men went to Mount Seir, having for their captains Pelatiah and Neriah and Rephaiah and Uzziel, the sons of Ishi. And they smote the rest of the Amalekites that were encamped and dwelt there unto this day. That's good. You're supposed to smite Amalekites. God had told Saul to wipe out all the Amalekites. Amalekites are descendants of Esau, as we've already said, if you were paying attention. And Esau is always symbolic of the flesh. And Amalekites are kind of like to the nth degree. They're like fleshly. And we're supposed to still, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're supposed to, you know, there's a war to be waged, and we're supposed to win it. You can't deal with the flesh. You can't have any peace, no quarter. You gotta overcome the flesh, is what I'm trying to say. In you, be merciless, root it out. Just okay. That's my portion as far as like preaching and away we go. Now, chapter 5, with the descendants of Reuben. Let's look at the first three verses. Now, the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel. For he was the firstborn, but for as much as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel, and the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright. That's what I said. How did he do that? Because he adopted both his sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, and so he gave them both a portion, and that was like Joseph getting the double blessing. For Judah prevailed above his brethren. Of him came the chief ruler, but the birthright was Joseph's. The chief ruler coming from Judah, you would know him better as Jesus. The sons, I say, of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, were Hanok and Palu, Hezron and Carmi, and on it goes. Let's skip down to verse 9. And eastward he inhabited unto the entering in of the wilderness from the river Euphrates, because their cattle were multiplied in the land of Gilead. In the days of Saul they made war with the Hagarites, who fell by their hand, and they dwelt in their tents throughout all the east land of Gilead. Now when you're reading Hagarites, you remember Hagar was Sarah's handmaid who Abraham got pregnant because Sarah thought that was a good idea. So Hagarites are another word for Egyptians. Remember, she was the Egyptian handmaid. So they're talking about this battle they had, and they settled east of Jordan. And we're going to recount that here. Verse 11, and the children of Gad dwelt over against them in the land of Bashan unto Salcah. Now skip down to verses 18, and the sons of Reuben and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, a valiant men, and those are the two and a half tribes that settled on one side of the Jordan River, the wrong side, by the way. And I think this is symbolic of all those who don't enter in. You know, this is what God has for you, okay? Well, I don't know. I mean, they're Christian, you know what I mean? They believe in Jesus, and he's gone as far as to save them from the sin, but they never really enter in, you know what I mean? They're kind of on the periphery, you know? You're in or you're out? Well, out, you know, because we get this cattle, and you know how it is, and these good, you know, pasture lands. And they were the first to get overrun. They were first to go into captivity when the Assyrians came and wiped out the northern tribes. And they were the first to go into idolatry, too. You know, I think you want to get all the way in is kind of the idea. But anyway, the sons of Reuben, the Gadites, the half-tribe of Manasseh, a valiant men, able to bear buckler and sword and to shoot with bow and skillful in war, were 44,703 that went out to war. I'm going to read right through the rest of the chapter. And they made war with the Hagarites, with Jeter and Nephish and Nodab. And they were helped against them, and the Hagarites were delivered into their hand, and all that were with them, for they cried to God in the battle, and he was entreated of them, because they put their trust in him. And they took away their cattle of their camels, 50,000, and of sheep, 250,000, of asses, 2,000, of men, 100,000. For there fell down many slain, because the war was of God, and they dwelt in their steads until the captivity. The captivity is the Babylonian captivity. And the children of the half-tribe of Manasseh dwelt in the land. They increased from Bashan unto Baal Hermon and Senir and unto Mount Hermon. And these were the heads of the house of the fathers, even Ephraim and Ishi and Eliel and Azriel and Jeremiah and Hodaviah and Jediel and mighty men of valor, famous men, heads of the house of their fathers. And they transgressed against the God of their fathers, and went to whoring after the gods of the people of the land whom God destroyed before them. So here they are valiantly fighting the wars of the Lord, and then they go into idolatry. And the God of Israel stirred up the spirit of Pul, king of Assyria, and the spirit of Tilgath-Pilneser, king of Assyria, and he carried them away, even the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe Manasseh, and brought them unto Halah, and Habor, and Harah, and to the river Gozan unto this day. They didn't come back from the Assyrian captivity like the Babylonian captivity only lasted 70 years. Chapter 6, making good time. The sons of Levi, now we're going through the sons of Israel one at a time. Sons of Levi, Gershom, Kohath, and Merari. Sons of Kohath, Amram, Issachar, Hebron, Uzziel, etc., etc. Look at verse 7. Merioth begat Amariah. Amariah begat Ahitub. That's during David's time. Ahitub begot Zadok. Zadok begot Ahimaaz. Ahimaaz begot Azariah, and Azariah begot Johanan. Now, one thing you understand is when we talked about the millennial kingdom, it's the sons of Zadok. God still knows where they are. Who will be his priest that come near to him and serve at the altar. And Johanan begat Azariah. He it is that executed the priest's office in the temple that Solomon built in Jerusalem. And Azariah begat Amariah, and Amariah begat Ahitub. Ahitub begat Zadok. Zadok begat Shalem. Shalem begat Hilkiah. Hilkiah begat Azariah. And Azariah begat Sarai, and Sarai begat Jehozadak. And Jehozadak went into captivity when the Lord carried away Judah and Jerusalem by the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. Sons of Levi, Gershom, Kohath, Merari, and these be the names of the sons of Gershom. Libni and Shimei, and the sons of Kohath were Amram and Izhar, and Hebron and Uzziel, the sons of Merari, Mahli, and Mushi. These are the families of Levites according to their fathers. We always love that, Mahli and Mushi, because that was the kids. We always said that about them. Our kids, you know, we say, you know, we always refer to them as Mahli and Mushi because we thought it was so cool. I don't know, because we weren't in our right minds. And it wasn't like Adam was Mahli and Micah was Mushi. Collectively, they were Mahli and Mushi. I don't know, okay? It's a Casper thing. I'm going to keep moving here. Let's skip down to verse 31. And these are they whom David set over the service of song in the house of the Lord after the ark had rest. And they ministered before the dwelling place of the tabernacle of the congregation with singing until Solomon had built the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. And then they waited on their office according to their order. Skip down to verse 48. Their brethren also, the Levites, were appointed unto all manner of service of the tabernacles of the house of God. But Aaron and his sons offered upon the altar of the burnt offering and on the altar of incense and were appointed for all the work of the place most holy to make an atonement for Israel according to all that Moses, the servant of God, had commanded. These are the sons of Aaron. Eleazar, his son, Phinehas, his son, Abishua, his son, Bukai, his son, Uzai, his son, Zerahiah, his son, Merioth, his son, Amariah, his son, Ahitub, his son, Zadok, his son, Ahimaaz, his son. Now, the cities of the Levites. I'm not going to read this all, but the rest of the chapter is given to, I think there's 48 cities, and these are named here, and they're kind of like what God does. Okay, these are the people who know the law, who know Scripture. They didn't have like a printing press. They didn't have Bibles, okay? So these are people who knew, and God sprinkled them all the way throughout all Israel. They had the different cities. So you were never more than a day or two away from a Levitical city where you can go and you can inquire and you could ask, you know, what does God say about this? What does God say about this? They didn't have synagogues at this time. They had a temple in Jerusalem that you were supposed to go there three times a year if you're an able-bodied Jewish male. Others could go there as well, and you could go at any time, but there were three times where you had to go. And it wasn't like, you know, going to church on Sunday. Again, they didn't have synagogue at this time. That's not going to happen until after the Babylonian captivity. So God sprinkled these Levites throughout, and that's how he did it at that time, okay? It's like, it's kind of like, you know, going to church on Sunday. If you go to a Levite and ask him, you know, so anyway, that's the cities of the Levites. Now chapter 7, everyone's still okay? Okay, hang on, we'll get to chapter 7. Now the sons of Issachar were Tola and Pua, Jashub and Shimron, 4. Skip down to verse 5. And their brethren among all the families of Issachar were valiant men of might, reckoned in all by their genealogies 87 sons. Now verse 6 is the sons of Benjamin, Bela, Beker, Jediel, 3. Skip down to verse 13, the sons of Naphtali. Naphtali's only got one verse. I like him. I wish all the other ones were just that prolific, you know, because this would be zipping through this stuff. The sons of Naphtali, Jeziel, Gunai, there's another name, you know, you're looking for, again, in the baby book, right? And Jezer and Shalom, the sons of Bilhah. That's Naphtali. Now, verse 14, the sons of Manasseh. This, Manasseh was one of the sons of Joseph, of course. Sons of Manasseh, Asriel, whom she bare, but his concubine, the Aramitess, bare Maker, the father of Gilead. Maker took to wife the sister of Huppim and Shuppim, whose sister's name was Maacah. The name of the second was Zelophehad, and Zelophehad had daughters. Now, I just want to read that part, one, because we're talking about one of the tribes, right, Manasseh. But I want to get down to verse 15, Zelophehad. He didn't have any sons. And so the daughters of Zelophehad, and there were five of them, right? Tirzah, Hogla, Milcah. Hogla, she was a real pork chop. But I'm just joking. I don't mean it. So anyway, they came to Moses and said, listen, we ain't got no, dad doesn't have any sons. What's the deal? We want to inherit too. And so Moses says, hey, you hang out right here. I'll go check with headquarters. So he prays, and God says, yeah, they're right. They should be able to inherit. If they marry inside the tribe, then they get inheritance. I don't remember who first pointed it out, but the claims of Christ as the seed of David hang in the balance. This man named Heli, I can't remember. I think that's his name. Heli, I think, is Mary's father. Obviously doesn't have any sons. And so he adopts Joseph, because Mary and Joseph are both of the tribe of Judah, and so Christ is his opportunity to inherit and be of the tribe of Judah. I mean, not of the tribe of Judah, but of the seed of David, because you got to remember too that both his parents were of the seed of David by different sons. One's through Solomon, that would be Joseph, and the other's through a son named Nathan, is Mary's genealogy. You know what I mean? So it passes the blood curse of Jeconiah. It's all there. It's all very interesting stuff, and you can put that all together. But, I was just thinking, Zelophehad, hey, got no sons. Well, what do we do in that situation? God makes the exception, because that's how he is. He's this is all reckoned by, well, we don't have any. What are we going to do? Oh, I'll fix you up. And just something to keep in the back of your mind. Okay, let's skip down to verse 20. The sons of Ephraim, Shuthelah, Bered his son, Tahath his son, Elada his son, Tahath his son, and Zabad his son, and Shuthelah his son, and Ezer and Elead, whom the men of Gath that were born in the land slew, because they came down to take away their cattle. And Ephraim their father mourned many days, and his brethren came to comfort him. And when he went into his wife, she conceived, and bare a son. He called his name Bereiah, because it went evil with his house. Now, the parts that are kind of like, I don't know, I can't comment much on that. I don't know that much about it, you know, and I'm just, this is all you can find, and you can't find any more. But the Holy Spirit, you know, now he takes a break from names, and he tells you this little vignette. I don't know what to do with stuff like that. I mean, sometimes you can. Obviously, it's an application, but here, I just thought I'd read it. I don't know anything more about it to say than that. Now, we skip down to verse 30. We have the sons of Asher, okay, another one of the tribes. Sons of Asher, Imnah, Isua, Ishuai, Berei, and Sarah, their sister, and on it goes. Now, chapter 8, we'll get through chapter 8. I don't think we're going to be able to get through chapter 9 because I see our time's almost spent. We'll get 8 chapters, though. This is a record, okay, in this church. I mean, never did 8 chapters before, okay? Sometimes I've done 8 verses. I think I'm doing good, you know? Listen, you think, Adam, you're just zipping through this. I don't know how edifying this is. Listen, you got to ask God why you wrote this, you know, Jewish phone book and why we're studying. Because we go verse by verse. Now, you can study this to the nth degree. And find out all these people and everything you can know about them. You can take your Strong's Exhaustive Concordance and find the etymology of all the names. And you know, I'm just trying to, you know, get through and try to, and like next week we'll go at our usual pace. Next week we will not get 8 chapters, okay? But we'll see what we can do about this this week. Okay, chapter 1, Benjamin, okay? Now Benjamin begat Bela his firstborn, Ashbel the second, Ahara the third, and on that goes. Let's skip down to verse 33 because, and read right through the rest of the chapter. And Ner begat Kish. Kish begat Saul. Okay, that's the first king. So he's kind of noteworthy. So they're going to, of Benjamin, they're going to, and you remember he's a Benjamite. So the first king is not of Judah. The first Israel king is a Benjamite. Huh. Isn't that interesting? Kish begat Saul. Saul begat Jonathan. Jonathan is that Jonathan of Jonathan and David fame. And John and Malchishua and Abinadab and Eshbaal. And the son of Jonathan was Merubbaal. And Merubbaal begat Micah. Merubbaal, you know him better as Mephibosheth, okay? Here, his name is Merubbaal, named after Baal. You know that god, Baal? Means Lord. You know, by the way, when we're talking about naming kids, when you have some or grandkids, don't name them like Lucifer. Okay, you know, I don't want to dedicate a Lucifer, you know what I mean? Don't name your kids after false gods. What's up with Jonathan? I don't think he was a man of faith till he hooked up with David. Well, here he has a son, and he names him after a false god. Really? Just an idea. Don't name your kid Allah. just don't. Buddha. Yeah, Buddha Jones. I don't know. It's just... All right. So he does. He names him Merubbaal. Again, I think he changes it later on. Merubbaal begat Micah. Interesting to me, because Merubbaal, who we know as Mephibosheth, he has a son. He calls him Micah. Micah's a cool name. I have a son named Micah. I knew what it meant before I named Micah Micah. It means, who is like the Lord? Kind of good. Michael means the same thing. Michael's kind of more Greek. Micah is Hebrew, okay? And the answer is it's rhetorical. There's no one like the Lord. You know what I mean? But that's what it means. So obviously, you know, Mephibosheth, and maybe he's not a man of faith either, but he runs into David. I think he is a man of faith after that. I love his story. The sons of Micah were Pithon, Melech, Teara, and Ahaz. Ahaz begat Jehoiada, and Jehoiada begat Alameth, and as Maveth and Zimri, and Zimri begat Moza, Moza begat Binei, Rapha was his son, Eliezer his son, Azel his son. Azel had 6 sons, whose names are these? Because I know you're interested. Azricam, Bokru, Ishmael, Sheariah, Obadiah, and Hanan. All these were the sons of Azel. Now the sons of Eshek, his brother, were Ulam, his firstborn, Jehush the second, Eliphelet the third, and the sons of Ulam were mighty men of valor, archers, and had many sons and sons' sons. 150, all these are the sons of Benjamin. Okay, now, next time we pick this up, we're going to get into the genealogy of Israel and Judah, but then it goes back to like a chronicle. It's called Chronicles, and what it does is it chronicles the kings of Judah, not the kings of Israel and Judah. You remember kings, it keeps switching back between the northern and the southern kingdom. For some reason, Chronicles doesn't do that. First and Second Chronicles used to be one book, okay, when it was Jewish. When they turned it into Greek, it's just 30% longer to write. It takes more words to say it in Greek. Hebrew is a very dense language. There's only 22 letters in their alphabet, right? No vowels, by the way. And they have concepts. It takes a little to say a lot. I think it's like about 10 characters on my ring. It means I'm my beloved's and she is mine. And you can't say that with that few letters in English. But it's very dense language. So when they changed it to Greek, it took more. So the scrolls that they made, it would be like either they wouldn't hold together because you can only make them so long. You know what I mean? You can't like have a 300-yard scroll that you... That's when it changed into two. First and Second Kings. I believe First and Second Samuel, First and Second Kings, and First and Second Chronicles are all like that. You can check me on that. But I know for the fact this used to be just one book. So we're going to go read the chronicle of the... And we're going to start off with like Saul, and we'll read David. And it's going to cover some of the stuff that we covered in Kings, but it's going to be a lot of stuff that's... Like when it talks about David's sin, David's great sin, it doesn't mention Bathsheba. You're thinking, well, what a God, you overlooked that? Yeah, it's under the blood. It's like, yeah, no, I'm worried about that. I understand how that stuff happens. David's great sin in the book of Chronicles is when he numbers the people. And I'm thinking like, what way is this? It's telling the same story, but it's telling from a different perspective. What perspective? Is it a heavenly perspective? Is this like when you die and like, everything's weighed out? Is this what like your life's going to look like? I don't know. It's the only place in Scripture, there's always like, if you've been following through, Genesis, we've already run into like two, these list of names, right, in chapter 5 and chapter 10. Chapter 10 is the table of nations. Chapter 5 is the genealogy from Adam to Noah. So we run into this by and large, but this is the only place in all of Scripture we have this many names, all like that, and so many. Why is it there? I don't know. I try to be faithful to Scripture here without, boring you right to tears. I don't know how to say the names. I don't know why that's important. I guess it's important to God. Now, if you come back from a Babylonian captivity, this is your family. This is your land. This is your, divisions of the tribes. This is mighty important to you. Maybe if we were all, one big extended family, and they're talking about, cousin Ralph and, Uncle Fred or something like this, it'd be vitally interest to us. Now, thousands of years later, these names that we have very hard time stumbling over, they're not quite so interesting. I think they're interesting to God, though. That's all I can commend to you, okay? God knows you by name. He knows where you live. He's got your email address. He's got your phone number. He knows how to, he's hooked up. He knows how to get in touch with you. He knows everything about you. I like that fact. That's all I got. I can go on talking for a long time, but I've got nothing important to say. So let's just stand up. We'll ask God's blessing, and we'll, Matt will come out of here and come up here and send us out of here in song. Lord, there's no time like this when we study the Bible where we look at all these names at this minute. And I don't know, Lord. People walk away and say, oh, it's just kind of, I don't know. It's your word. And we don't want to criticize. Obviously, Lord, this isn't where we live. It's not, I've always questioned things like this. But help us, Lord, to, get a hold, understand, have a respect, a real, love for your word, and even at the times when we don't understand it, Because, you know, frankly, even when it's talking about stuff that we understand the words, we don't always get the concepts. And we always walk away, often we walk away, we scratch our head and we say, well, I don't get that part. I don't understand that. It seems to not make sense to me. But it's your word. Okay? It's beyond us very often. We appreciate it so much. It is still, even though we don't always get it, and sometimes you scratch your head, it's still a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It's still the anvil that all the hammers were broken on. It's still your word, and we appreciate so much, Lord. You haven't left us, you know, without any roadmap at all, but you've told us everything we know. You've given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Lord, we appreciate that so much. Send us out of here with a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.